Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thanks for listening to us this summer. Today we have Presley Bell. Presley is Wichita State softball's new pitching coach, although she is not new to the program. She was named assistant coach earlier this month, moving up after 2 years as a graduate manager and a graduate assistant last season when she worked with the pitchers. Presley is from Liberty, Texas, which is near Houston. She pitched at the University of Houston, where she earned second-team all-conference honors in 2019 and was a two-time All-American Scholar Athlete. Presley, tell us a little bit about softball. How did that become your sport as a youngster?
Yeah, so, I have an older sister. She's 5 years older than me, so she obviously got into softball at a young age, and so I grew up going to her stuff. I started at T-ball, so 4 years old, I was playing T-ball and just kind of kept it going up through there. Played league ball, got into pitching. My sister was a pitcher, so my parents went to pitching lessons with her every Sunday for like 3 years. So they would just teach me what they had learned at pitching lessons. So that's kind of how I got into pitching. I got into select ball whenever I was 10 years old, so I started playing competitively very young, and then it just kind of took off from there.
Did you play other sports?
I did. So I played, your little league basketball growing up. And then once I got into junior high, I played volleyball, basketball, and ran track. And then moving into high school, I continued playing volleyball, basketball, and then track whenever they would need me, but not a whole lot along with softball.
Okay. So a lot of multi-sport in your background.
Yes.
And that seems like something Wichita State has had pretty good success with.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think that's helpful for athletes?
I mean, I think it's super important. You get to work on all of your athletic skills, not just softball alone. You really broaden your horizon with your abilities, your coordination, your athleticism, really. So I think we enjoy whenever girls play multiple sports. You don't get so burnt out on softball, and you're more athletic to do more things within our sport.
So always a pitcher. Why did you like that position?
I was good at it whenever I started out. I picked it up fairly well, fairly young. And then everyone looks at you. I mean, that's your circle. You're in charge of the game. And I really liked that part of it. So,
do you have a softball pitcher, an Olympian, a collegiate that you really enjoyed watching that kind
of
inspired you?
Yeah, so growing up, I really liked Jenny Finch and Kat Osterman. My parents took me and my sister to a game at the University of Texas at Austin when they played the Olympic team. So when Kat took her year off for the Olympics, we went and watched them play. So I really liked those two. And then a non-pitcher, I really loved Megan Willis. She was also one of my favorites, who was Kat's catcher. So,
okay, good role models. Coaching. So you come to Wichita State as a graduate manager. Were you locked in on coaching? Has this kind of been a journey or a process? Tell us about how you decided on this profession.
Yeah, so probably around once I got into high school, I really knew that I wanted to keep coaching. I wanted to be involved in college athletics as long as I could, whether that was being a softball or the strength and conditioning side of it. I really enjoy strength and conditioning, so that was also another kind of path that I was willing to go down. But I really got serious about it last few years of high school, and definitely in college. I was like, I love this. Like, the college atmosphere, you can't beat it. So I wanted to stay involved in it as long as I could, no matter if it was softball or the strength and conditioning route. So,
coaching mentors, who's really been influential?
My dad, for one. He was a football and softball coach all through high school. So he was mine and my sister's softball coach in high school. And then my pitching coach at Houston, Megan Gibson Lofton. I think she really connected with me. I've learned so much from her. I'm really thankful for her. So I think those two are probably the main ones when it comes to coaching. And then what I've learned here from Coach E and Coach B.
Tell us about growing up in Liberty, Texas.
Oh, Liberty. If you don't know it, you were like, what is this place? It's right in between Houston and Beaumont, little small town. Been there all my life. My dad grew up there for the most part. My mom grew up in Dayton, which is like the little neighboring town. That's actually where I went to high school. But yeah, it's a little homey, nice little country town. Wichita reminds me of it a little bit because it's so spread out, so you don't have the big city feel. So it kind of gives me the home feel of kind of being out in the middle of nowhere, if you will. But no, I love it. I mean, I love being from my little small town.
And there is a replica of the Liberty Bell in Liberty, Texas.
Yes.
I guess this is a significant landmark. Do you have your senior pictures taken by the Liberty Bell?
I do not. I messed up, but it is there.
You have two dogs, Bonnie and Clyde.
Tell us
about the dogs.
I'm probably overly obsessed with them in an unhealthy way, but it's fine because I love them so much. They're brother and sister. They just turned 4 this past April. They're living life with my parents. We have a little house for them. I like to call it a puppy palace. So it's basically a house replica. My dad had the shop teacher build it at our high school. And it's painted the same color as our house. It has shingles on it. They have a heat lamp because it gets so cold in Texas, I know. And they have an AC unit in there that we turn on for them. So they have a whole 9 yards.
So hang on, run through that again. They have a dog house with a heat lamp and air conditioning?
And an AC unit, yes.
Wow. What kind of dogs are Bonnie?
They are Blue Merle Border Collies.
Okay.
They're the cutest things ever. I don't care what anyone says.
Okay, but they're not here with you in Wichita.
They are not.
You're too busy, I guess.
Yeah, well, and I would never take them from my parents. I mean, that's their home. They get to run around the backyard. We have like an invisible fence that they can go to their boundaries, but they have free range. Clyde has just discovered the pool. So he gets into the pool and sits on the sun shelf by himself. So he's having a great summer, to say the least.
I know. I've discovered there are a lot of pets on the Shocker softball team.
That there are.
Do you have a dog that you're able to visit to kind of fill that void while they're away?
Well, I live with Lorianne, and she has Gus. So okay. I get some Gus time. I get my dog Phil from that. A lot of our girls who had dogs are gone now. So if I was going to get my Phil, they've all graduated. Now we have a bunny and 2 guinea pigs. So it's not quite the same.
Okay. So played at the University of Houston. What was your best moment as a Cougar?
Gosh, I think my senior year, just getting to pitch at regionals at Austin, I pitched against Sam Houston State for our second win. I pitched, I think, like a one-hit shutout. It was a really good game for me. And then we ended up having to play Texas twice, and I got to pitch the nightcap. And just playing in front of that fan base and just that atmosphere, I mean, it's everything that you dream of when you go to play college softball. So I think that was probably one of the biggest highlights for me.
As a senior, you faced the Shockers, and I'm curious if you remembered anything from that, if that stood out to you.
I do. I believe we won 5-4.
Cougars won 5-4. I've got the box score right here.
It was the fourth inning that really kind of did us in when they scored a few of their runs, I believe.
They did score all 4 in the fourth.
Yep.
So you would have pitched against, let's see, current Shocker Sydney McKinney was in that game. Your roommate.
Yep.
Lori Derrico was there. Madison Perrigan, Bailey Nickerson, Riley Buck, Neely Herring, Kaylee Hecker. So you pitched against quite a few of your future. Yeah. What was, and I don't know if you remember this or not, was there a scatter report on Wichita State? They always seemed like such a good hitting team. What do you remember about that?
I remember Coach Gibson told me that Lori Ann was their best hitter, their shortstop. So I was like, okay, so I was preparing for her. I don't really remember pitching to anyone else. I didn't know their faces well enough to remember it now. I do remember giving up a home run. It was a screwball that cut back over the plate, and now I'm learning that it was Riley Buck who hit it. And then other than that, I don't remember too much. I know I struck out Lori, then she got a hit up the middle, and then to end the game, I struck out someone. I believe it was Asia, but I'm not 100% sure. I still keep in touch with her.
Riley Buck did indeed homer in that game, and Riley also doubled.
Yep.
Lori also doubled. This season, 2021, when did you begin to get the feel that the Shockers had the potential to do something special?
You know, I think it was our tournament at UT Arlington. We went 5-0. We got really tested on Sunday. We had to play Iowa State, and we had already won 4 games, so we were like, okay, like, let's see how we're going to come out, what we're going to do. I mean, 2020 was a short season, but it was a very telling season about kind of who our team was and stuff. So I think we were just kind of anxious to see if we were going to grow from that or kind of go back to our same habits. Whenever we won against Iowa State, we went 5-0. I think that was really like the clicking point, like, okay, we have something special here. I mean, we dressed out a freshman who hadn't played. She hits a double off the wall, you know, really comes in clutch for us. So I think that was the point where we were like, okay, we might have something going here. You know, we might be able to do something this year.
I'm trying to remember, was that Jess Garcia?
It was Cameron Compton.
Cameron Compton.
Now, Jess did come in and get a hit, I believe, but Cameron Compton came in and got a big hit for us.
I remember both of them had some good moments as freshmen. First impression of Addison Barnard.
Oh my gosh, that girl is like a little machine. She's just naturally athletic, naturally strong. She played multiple sports back home. She's just a very hard worker. I mean, you won't find anyone else that comes out and works hard every single day just because they want they want to be there. They want to get better, want to learn. She has such a softball mind. I mean, she's talking pitchers that we'll face in 2 weeks, you know, trying to see what they throw, how she can prepare for them. She's very humble. If you told her she was the best, she'd be like, oh, I don't know about that, you know. Super humble, such a hard worker. I absolutely love being around her every day.
Favorite moment from 2021?
Oh, man, there's so many. I mean, definitely beating OSU 2 out of 3 times. I mean, that's great. That's always such a fun time. But I have to say probably winning conference and conference tournament. I mean, that's something that I've been trying to do for 4 years at Houston, you know. I've been in the American Conference. We had always gotten so close at Houston. And so I think finally getting it done, even though I wasn't playing, I still felt like I was playing. But getting it done here, I think that was probably one of the best memories of 2021.
Do you have a favorite flavor of Hi-Chew?
I actually don't. I mean, I like all of them. A lot of people don't like the mango. I don't mind the mango. But I like them all. They're just so good.
I did like the mango. I'll explain for people who maybe aren't familiar. Hi-Chews were the little candy, kind of a soft candy that Coach Christy Breadbender would toss to people who hit a home run. So it became one of the kind of one of the fun stories about Shocker baseball in 2021. So coaching first base, that was one of your jobs this year.
It was.
Tell us about your history coaching first base and how you learned on the job.
So I had never done it before, but it was always something that I wanted to do because it just looks like your first base coach is like they have the most fun out there because some of the pressure's on them, but not a whole lot of pressure is. And also I just think it's so fun to have that interaction with the girls when they get to first base. You know, you're the first one to give them that high five, hype them up, all that kind of stuff. I like to think I was a very good base runner in college. My coach used to always tell me that I was the best base runner on our team. So I would just give them, you know, a little bit of rules when it came to base running and first and, you know, reminding them of the outs and stuff like that, talking them through stuff, you know, whatever they say to me because you could, it'll surprise you what all comes up at first base. But it just helped me feel more a part of the game and, like, in the game. I mean, whenever we'd hit a home run, I think I was the first one to the home plate to, like, celebrate with everyone else. So it was just super fun, super engaging. Definitely something that I would like to continue to do. I don't know if that will happen or not. But I had a lot of fun with it. It was super fun.
Yeah, so what percentage of things that you're telling, you're kind of whispering into the base runner's ear are, you know, super secret strategy stuff, and how much of it is just kind of fun, keep it light, keep it energized?
I mean, honestly, the most part's just making sure we all have the same sign from Coach B. I mean, that can be one of the tricky ones when our fingers get going. But other than that, we just talk about kind of what they saw at the plate, you know, what the outfield's looking like, you know, if they can go first to third on the hit, you know, to the outfield, little stuff like that. I wouldn't say we have too many secrets up our sleeve, but just kind of keeping it light, you know, keeping us in the game, so.
How many first basemen are able to eavesdrop and hear what's going on?
Not a lot. We keep that pretty undercover. We don't talk too loud. Or if it's something that we don't care if they hear, it's whatever. Right. But if it is something that we need to whisper, you know, we'll keep it to ourselves. So.
Shockers have a lot of hand signals when they get on base.
We do.
Do you have any role in orchestrating the hand signals as first base
coach? I do
not.
I just come there and I wait for them to give me my high five, and that's about it.
That's all. That's more a player-driven thing than the hand signals.
Yep, that's all of them.
All right. Describe the transition to full-time coaching. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously I have a lot more responsibilities now. We're in the office over the summer where you're getting back to recruiting. So we've been to 3 tournaments so far this summer. I mean, it's just a lot. I don't think you realize how much college coaches do actually in the summer, you know, because that's supposed to be, you know, the time off, and it's not. You know, you're still going in full speed looking for future players to bring in. So, yes, you get a break, but you're still working a lot during the summer. So, I mean, it's pretty rewarding. I'd never done it before, so it's a nice little experience for me to get into it and stuff. You meet a lot of people out there. So it's been fun so far, but you definitely stay busy.
When you got the job full-time, who was the first person you texted, or who was the most exciting person to maybe send you a congratulatory note or something?
Yeah, so Coach B actually offered me the job the day after we played at KU. So it was like late April, and so we were kind of in the office talking because they were getting our recruiting schedule going, and so she kind of offered me the job. And then while I was sitting on the couch, I texted my little family group. And then my dad, he tried to call me twice after that, but I was like, hey, we're still talking. So then I had to call them back. But they were super excited for me. So I think I was most excited to tell them. But after it all came out on Twitter, I got a lot of love and feedback from people that I've crossed paths with, you know, played select ball with, played at Houston with. So it was all just a really good feeling.
I can imagine. So you are out recruiting now. Take us through maybe a typical day on the recruiting trail for a softball coach.
So we'll look at our tournament. We'll print out the schedule for, you know, our 14, 16, 18s, and we'll kind of sit down together and kind of highlight and look at the games and the teams that we want to watch, or if there are certain players that we want to watch and get another look at. We'll sit down and go through that. And there's three of us, so we're kind of lucky that all three of us get to go for the most part. So if they're using different parks, you know, for the tournament, we'll kind of disperse. We'll get there for the 8 a.m. game, and we'll might be there for the 9 p.m. game. You know, so it's a full day event. You're just out there watching games, evaluating, you know, looking for those athletes that we think would do well and help our program. And then once we kind of see them, we make a list, and then we try and go again and watch them over and over just to get some consistency and make sure that, like, oh, yeah, we do like this kid, you know. And then while we're watching, we might see someone else pop up on another team. So it's kind of like a win-win. But, yeah, it's just a lot of observation, and then you get your list, and then you can kind of go from there.
Yeah, so how much do you go into a game or a tournament saying, I have these, you know, five people that I really want to see, and how much of it is I'm just kind of open and I'm keeping my eyes open for anybody?
Yeah, we actually have a pretty good list going. I think we have a good number of athletes that we want to keep our eye on, so that helps us out a lot because then we know which games we need to go watch. They're also very familiar with the teams around here and the teams around our area, so they know which teams to go watch and stuff. I mean, Coach B and Coach E, they've been doing this way longer, so they have a good idea. They kind of just tell me where to go, or if there's a pitcher they think that I need to look at, they'll tell me to watch her. I've been able to tell them a few girls that I like, that just from what I've been seeing. So we work together well as a group. They've been really good on filling me in on the whole recruiting stuff and what we're looking for and stuff like that. So it's been fun.
So if you were to talk to a, say, a high school sophomore or junior who's getting ready to go to a tournament in the summer, what advice would you give them? What are coaches looking for? What are things that are kind of disqualifying? What are things that can maybe, you know, move them up on somebody's evaluation?
I mean, I would definitely say that your body language tells a lot, you know, so be aware of that. People are always watching, whether you think they are or not. And if you think we're not watching, we know someone who is. You know, and coaches talk. They mean they're all friends in some capacity, so they talk. But I would just say that no matter what you're doing, I mean, whether it's warm-ups before the game, lines before the game, or the actual game, give it all you got. You know, we might only be able to see you take your warm-up lines, and then we got to go to another game. But if we see something good, you know, that you're actually showing effort and hard work and stuff, I mean, that's a very telling of an athlete. So I would just say your body language, giving full effort, and just your attitude. You know, if you strike out, okay, so what? Everyone's going to strike out. But it's how you respond to those things. I think your response to everything tells a lot about who you are as a player and as a person. And I know that's what a lot of coaches look for.
So you are a young coach just getting started. How do you go about building your strategy, your philosophy? Here's the kind of player I'm looking for. Here's what I'm watching for.
Yeah, so I mean, I know the kind of athlete I was, and I know it worked well for me, and I've seen the kind of athletes we have here at Wichita State. And I mean, take your Addie Barner. Every coach wishes they had an Addie Barner. So you take some of her qualities, and then for me as a pitcher, I got to have more of the mental side of it. So I need someone who has a lot of composure, who has a really strong mental side, because as a pitcher, you can't be weak, you know, on any of those kind of sides of the ball. So just looking for someone like that. Like I said, I had a great mentor with Coach Gibson, so I know kind of what she looked for and stuff, and then what Coach E and Coach B are looking for, because they're still helping me out about that kind of stuff. But I think with all those together, I'm grabbing from all those different areas and kind of building the kind of pitcher that I would want to bring into this program.
And pitching in softball seems they are really, really valued. There's really a, you know, a heavy emphasis on pitcher, and there aren't a huge supply. How does that figure into your strategy when you're going to, you know, when you're going to showcases to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's really finding someone that I think has the potential to come play for us and that I think that I can work with and really get to the level of play that we'll need them to be at. I mean, we're not going to get your already advanced elite pitchers, you know, I mean, those girls are going to go to your bigger schools, your power five. But if we can find someone with the right mentality, a good athletic size, and potential and the willing to work hard. I mean, I think we can make any person who's willing to work hard fit for this program.
So you're kind of describing Bailey Lang.
Exactly.
Excellent athlete.
Yep.
And just kind of got better and better and better until she was a really good, really good pitcher. Mm-hmm. Let's go to next season, 2022, for the Shockers. You got three pitchers returning. Caitlin Bingham and Aaron McDonald have all pitched a lot over their time here at Wichita State. Mm-hmm. Jordan Pipkin redshirted as a freshman this last season. Run through those three for us and you know, how they're progressing and what they need to do next season.
Yeah, I mean, Kate and Aaron, they're our veterans. You know, they've been here. They've been through the games. I think they both had a great season this past season. I mean, Kate's numbers were phenomenal from what they have been in the past. She came in really big moments for us. Aaron did great. I thought Aaron had the most progress over the season. You know, she really came in and really surprised us with how well she was doing. So I'll be looking and relying on the both of them for sure next year. I mean, I know right now Erin's playing in that Florida Gulf Coast League, and she's killing it down there, you know, so that's really great to hear. Jordan, we did redshirt so that I was able to work with her a little bit more with the fundamental side of things and really kind of build that up for her. I think she'll be great for us. She has a lot of raw potential. You know, she has a lot of natural movement to her ball, and she has a little bit of velo to her. So I think once we get in working to the fall, she'll be great for us in the spring as a part of our staff, so...
You're still a relative newcomer to Wichita. We love our restaurants here in Wichita. Do you have a favorite? What's emerged in your restaurant rotation?
You know, I'm a big pizza girl, so I'm really digging the Ziggy's Pizza. I love Ziggy's. Bricktown Brewery's been awesome. That one is a good fave. And then Red Rock. So I don't go there often, but whenever we have recruits, Coach B takes us to Red Rock, and that's just so good. So I think those three might be, like, my top restaurant so far, but I still have a lot more of exploring to do. So, what,
do you have a favorite pizza at Ziggy's?
God, they're all so good. I think the barbecue chicken pizza is really good. That one might be my favorite.
Okay, which Ziggy's do you go to? Do you go to College Hill or
no,
the one out east?
The one off of 21st or in Rock or something like that. It's on 21st, yeah.
This is kind of a leftover question from the pandemic. Favorite book, TV show, movies, what do you do when you're not thinking softball?
Oh, geez. This might be kind of embarrassing, but I have a color app on my phone, and it's like a color by number, and I can do that for literally hours. So I do that a lot. I did spent most of quarantine doing that. TV, I think I watch probably every episode of Friends on TV because they just keep replaying it. I wouldn't really say I have a favorite TV show. I do spend a lot of my time coloring. And if you ask any of the coaches, they'll probably tell you. And they're like, oh, yeah, she colors a lot. So
colors a lot.
It's a little bit of embarrassing, but.
Not at all. What pictures do you color?
They're just random. I don't know how they get generated into the system or where they get them from, but they're the most random ones. So, I mean, the app's called Happy Color, and it definitely makes me happy. It's very stress-free because it already tells you what color to do everything. So that's what I spend a lot of my free time doing.
Okay, Friends is kind of the rare TV show. It does not seem to age out.
Exactly.
Why does it still resonate with people your age like it did when it was popular years and years ago?
You know, I like to think I have a very good sense of humor. And, I mean, that show continues to make me laugh, even if I've seen the episode 5 times. You know, so I think they just did a really good job with their whole, comedy side of it. The whole story plan to it all. I don't know. I think a lot of it can still just resonate with life today, no matter your age, you know, the situations they go through and stuff like that. So, I don't know. It's just a happy, fun TV show to me.
Who's your favorite character?
Probably Joey.
Joey?
Yeah.
How about a favorite episode? And if you say anything other than the quiz between the men and the women,
Am I wrong?
You're probably wrong, but I'll go ahead and give you an opportunity.
That's a good one. I really don't know if I have an absolute favorite. I mean, I love them all. There's a lot of key moments and key lines that stick out, you know, from the show. But from an overall episode standpoint, I mean, I'll watch any of them.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.